Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, more than ever, today's modern woman is pulled in a thousand different directions. Career, family, community, relationships, teachers' conferences, peewee softball, soccer, and I could just go on and on and on, because I know my wife and my daughters, they're all involved in all that good stuff. Does that sound like your life? Well, how can you implement effective changes that bring a sense of stability and enjoyment to your life? What does it take to be successful? Successful in business, successful in life, successful in marriage, successful in raising children. Is it all brains or brawn or a combination? Is it what you know or who you know? Is it catching a lucky break or creating your own way? Well, my guest today is someone who's helped many, many women discover the answers to some of these questions. She specializes in empowering women of all ages to succeed. Lisa Stearns has a background as a master educator, connector, author, sports trainer. She's run a highly successful networking organization, and on top of all that, a business coach. She is a lifelong lover of all things organized. Oh, I can relate so much to that. And a master of out-of-the-box thinking, able to break down big ideas into manageable bite-sized pieces. Praise God. And on top of all that, she co-hosts a podcast with her husband of 40-plus years. She's the author of the book titled A List Is Not Enough, A Modern Woman's Guide to Goal Setting, Time Management, and Productivity. This book's available on Amazon and actually made the top 10 hot new release on Amazon in the time management category. Praise God. I encourage you to go get a copy. It'll help you change your life. I know it will. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, she's full of energy. So get your seatbelts on. Help me welcome to the program, Lisa Stearns. Lisa, thank you for coming on the program today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be able to talk with you.
Amen. Now, other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Lisa Stearns?
You know, I'm a woman, I think of myself as every woman, actually. I'm a woman that's been on a journey. I just turned 61. And I've definitely had, you know, ups and downs and twists and turns in my life. What my life lesson has been is that there's no bad experiences. There's lessons and blessings. And so I look at the last 6 years of my life I've had sickness where I've been bedbound, and to be able to be back out and amongst everybody and doing the things that I do and helping people that I love doing, to me is just a blessing. So the accident that happened, the family history that happened, you know, everything that brought me to a halt is just a blessing to me, because it brought me to be the person that I am here today.
Oh, amen. Amen. You know, we were talking about before we started the recording that I had some of those issues as well. You know, the accident and then not able to do much of anything except sit in the chair. And it gives you a lot of time to pray and contemplate and get clarity in life. It really does. How did you get started doing what you're doing today, helping other women out?
Well, I'm a helper by nature. I'm a type A helper. There's such a thing. So it's always been important to me to help others do whatever it is that they need to do. I started out, I'll go a little ways back without getting too deep in the weeds here. I homeschooled my children, and in that capacity, I was a homeschool academic advisor. So I started out helping parents make that transition of taking their children out of school and making their homeschool experience rewarding, pleasurable, easier where possible, helping them design curriculum and, you know, connect with other children and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of think of my journey really starting at that point in terms of what I'm doing today. And I did that for about 10 years. I ended up at the end of my career as a homeschooler, I ended up being the executive director of the program. And in that capacity, created the curriculum and procedural manuals that they are the only accredited homeschooling program in the state of Maryland.
Wow. That's awesome.
It was something, and it's part of my journey. I had no idea what I had done, and I gave myself no credit for having done it. So that's been my journey, is from that point, which was about 10 years ago, to now, is recognizing each small step that I accomplish, whether some days it's just getting out of bed, some days it's, you know, it's doing something big, but making sure that I pause and recognize that it takes energy, it takes focus, it takes love to accomplish anything that you are trying to accomplish, and giving myself credit, just stopping and saying, hey, good job, well done, instead of always finding the negative.
Yeah.
So from there, then I started, I got my personal training certification, and in that capacity recognized that as an entrepreneur, I was spending too much time by myself. So I created my first mastermind group, which, for the listeners that don't know what a mastermind group, it's a business, generally a business building group. It can be just about any size. Mine have always been small. And so I started this group of, there was five of us, to help and support each other in growing our businesses. So we were there to make connections. We were there as a sounding board. We were there for best practices for each other. And the three of the five members that were a part of that asked me if I would start a Toastmasters group because they were terrified of public speaking. Mm. So I started the first only women's only Toastmasters group called Voice of a Woman. And I started it in my home, and I wanted it in my home because I found that women in particular have a great fear of speaking up. So many of us have lost our voice, and I wanted women to feel very, very safe. So I didn't want it to be in an office environment. So I hosted it in my family room, and we charted very quickly. We charted within, I think, 2 months. And the next thing that happened was the three women that asked me to start it said, this is still too scary. I'm not doing this. And so I said, okay, I love to create things, and I'm definitely a problem solver at heart. So I thought about, all right, how do I make it even safer for them? How do I make it even easier for them? I invited them at that point to come and join me twice a month around my table. And there was only six of us. And I started out by saying, who took your voice away? And I started exploring what happened, that, you know, we are all born into this life with a certain amount of confidence. We may be born introverts, but we still are comfortable in our skin as babies, and we talk to people and we interact. Something happens along the way that we decide it's not safe anymore to have that kind of communication.
Yeah.
So I started just exploring that experience of who took your voice away, and created my business called Finding Your Voice of America. And what I recognized, my first assignment for everybody was looking at, tell me something about you that maybe nobody knows. And of the six women, five of them told of some kind of major abuse in their life, three of which have never shared it before.
Yeah.
And that was when I knew I had something very, very special. So from there, I created a curriculum to help women in very small groups. It was a public speaking curriculum. And then I created a coaching program called Finding Your Voice, and it was coaching and journaling. And I was ready to really to launch this on a, I would say, a national, international level. I was perched. I had done everything I needed to do. I knew what the next step was. And at that point, my mother died, and it changed the dynamic of my family. It changed my life. And it just kind of, it brought me to a halt. And I was then diagnosed with PTSD. And shortly after that, I was diagnosed with acute adrenal fatigue. And shortly after that, I fell and had a very, very serious concussion.
Mm.
And so those three episodes, like I said, just brought me to a point that I was not able to leave my house for a number of reasons. And so I spent 4.5, 5 years looking at who I am, who I want to be, how did I get to where I was that I came to the screeching halt, and what did I need to do to put my life together and to be the new me from here on in. And that is how I ended up writing my book. It's how I ended up, I really focused my practice as a business coach on creating these small groups, these mastermind groups, because I believe that it is in that small group that you can really give people the best attention. You can really help them create that network, that feeling of belonging with more than one person. They have this feeling of, wow, these are my people, you know, regardless of how big that is. For me, my groups are 6 to 8, but you know, this is my people and these people support me and I support them. So it creates a feeling of belonging. It creates accountability. It creates a network. It creates an empowerment piece of I'm bigger than me. I can be bigger than what's in my heart and what's in my mind that's holding me back. And so really that's my story. And I'm sticking to it.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, I could go off in so many different directions right now. Praise God. Now, you know, I want to go back to, you know, how you create safe circles for women to, you know, that you support in their business. I can understand why the safe environment, okay? So as you said, you know, some of them share things that they never share before. Right. How does that help them grow to be able to have the confidence then to reach out to greater things?
Oh, that is an awesome question. And one I just like, it gives me shivers. I'm so excited to answer that.
Amen. That's
my job. I felt that one all the way down to my toes. So here's what I learned from my own journey. And I teach everything from my own experience. What I learned from myself is I was raised by an emotionally and verbally abusive father. So I was taught that my voice did not count. It wasn't important. And therefore, it was not safe for me to speak. I also had learning disabilities 100 moons ago in the caveman days when we didn't have learning disabilities when I was a child. So you're just in the blueberry group and everybody knew the blueberry group was the dumb kids.
So, you know, so, the special class.
You know, right.
That's where I was put.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So again, it was another environment for me as a child to learn that it really wasn't safe for me to speak up. What I've learned through a great deal of reading, a great deal of study, and of working with communication coaches and confidence coaches is that if you can find that one person, that one place that you feel like it might be okay for you to say something that feels terrifying, once that door opens, you have the confidence to try it again, and you have the confidence to try it in a different place. And when I coach this, I think it's really important to choose very carefully who you choose to have those first sacred, trusted conversations with, because it may not be your best friend. It may not be a family member. It may not be somebody that comes to mind as, oh, that should be somebody I should trust. You want to look for, I think you want to look for somebody who wears their heart on their sleeve. You want to look for somebody who operates from a place of love and acceptance with no judgment. And you know that in that place, if you feel a sigh inside your body, that like you can relax a little bit with that person, 9 times out of 10, that's a safe person for you to have to speak your mind. And for me, when I started out, and I talk about my husband a lot, my husband is this glorious, wonderful man that I am so very blessed to have in my life. And he has done nothing but support me. But because of my history, I was afraid to speak up about things that I would like. And it's simple things like, I would prefer pizza over hamburgers tonight for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it took great courage for me to stop and say, well, wait a minute, I'm giving in and saying, agreeing with what I know he wants, because I'm too afraid to say I would prefer pizza. Yeah. This man could care. I mean, there was no repercussion for me to say I would prefer pizza.
You're like, okay.
Right. He would be like, fine, you know. So it was more me tuning into that voice in my own heart and in my own head that's saying, oop, don't say that. It's not safe. You're going to get in trouble for that. And, oh, wait a minute. That voice is speaking to me. And in this particular situation, that is not true. That is actually a false story. Mm-hmm. So to me, when you hear that voice that says, oh, don't say that, or you get that feeling, frequently it's not a voice. It's a feeling in your stomach that says, oh, this is not safe. And so recognizing that feeling or that voice and just observing it and say, well, wait a minute, right now something in my body is saying this isn't safe to do. Then you have the next opportunity to say, well, wait a minute, is that really true? And in the case of my husband, it was absolutely a falsehood. I could say anything to this man and there was no repercussions I would ever have to worry for. So I started with him. I just tuned into that voice and that feeling. And anytime it came up, I would stop and say, oh, wait a minute. And I would even preface it by saying, I'm going out on a limb here. This is taking a great deal of courage for me to say, I would prefer pizza.
But and the results were, was it double cheese or?
You know, I was so terrified to say that it really didn't matter. And and the reality is I didn't care whether we had pizza or hamburgers. It was just the importance of me saying, this is what I would prefer. Mm-hmm. So that's really, to me, that's what my progression looked like. And that's the way I coach it. And so that's why I create this place where, okay, if we're talking about something or somebody answers in a way, check in. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? And if it does, what would you like to say about it? Because this is the place to say it. And there won't be any repercussions. Everybody will just love on you all the more for the bravery that it took for you to speak up.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know I'm way back, I'm talking 1990. 92 time frame. I had thoughts of suicide and things like that because of things that were going on in my life.
Right.
Looking back, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was rough.
Right.
There were, thank God, other options, but I never discussed it with anyone. Things that my family didn't even know.
Right.
And believe it or not, it was a comedian that got me to talking about it.
Wow. That's amazing.
The seminars, suicide prevention, all that, and he approaches it from the comedic standpoint and makes you laugh at, like, yeah, okay, and the things he says, it was like, oh wow, and then he'll stop and say, and some of you just got that,
right?
Afterwards, I went up and talked to him, and that was the first time that I had even admitted to myself,
right.
So I understand that. And he made it where it was safe to talk about.
Yes.
And he wasn't making light of the situation.
Right.
But it presented it in a fashion to get the conversation started.
Absolutely.
What it's all about. Just giving them an opportunity to relate and say, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're speaking my story. That's exactly it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, let's go to the networking events that you hold. Now, are they all in your house, or do you have meetup groups that you go and do, or anything like that?
We are on Meetup. I started out, again, this was never meant to be a part of my business. To me, it was a community service. I created my networking organization. It's called Ms. Biz Mornings. And I created it because I wanted to give women who were starting businesses the opportunity to be able to network with other women in business for free. I didn't want them to, because if anybody's out there in a business and you have to network, it can become cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. And when you're starting out, you don't have $500 to join an organization and $45 a month for each event. So I really wanted, it was dual purpose. I wanted to give women the opportunity to connect with other women in business and support each other, creating that community of women supporting each other. But the next thing I wanted to do is, the city that I live in is a planned community. Mm-hmm. So all of the places, many, many, many of the small businesses are in these back end office parks. You can't find them. You don't know where they are. There's no signage. There's no something that says, Sue's Health Spa is here. So you just have to know where something is to find it. I got easier with MapQuest, but it didn't used to be.
Days when you just had to book Rand McNally in the car.
Right. You had to hope you could find number 4732. Yeah. So really, because of that, I wanted to give women the opportunity to find other women's businesses. So I host my networking group in women-owned businesses. And we meet between 8:30 and 10 in the morning. And that's so that most of the businesses are not open yet. So it doesn't matter. You know, it's not cutting into their any of their customer service kind of stuff. And we meet everywhere. We've met at a dog training place. We meet at spas. We've met at banks. We've met at hair salons, massage, you name it. We've met there, pet food places. So wherever it is, if it's a woman's own business and has a space, usually my meetings have between 20 and 25 women that show up.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so it's a good size group. So, you know, it has to be big enough to hold that many women. And there's no agenda because we could be talking around clothing racks or stacks of dog food. So it really just has to have enough space that 25 women can stand in a circle. And it's just networking. And I call it heart-centered networking for women.
Amen. Amen. Tell me more about your Toastmasters group.
I started it for these ladies. It is still going, but interestingly enough, it was one of the things that I marketed better than anything else ever. I marketed it towards, it was for women that were terrified of public speaking. Yeah. And they showed up in droves. It was
perfect. You know about, right?
I mean, the flip side of that was Toastmasters is very hierarchical. I would say a very male model. There's sergeants in arms and Robert's Rules of Order, and you get a gavel and all that kind of stuff, which was kind of the opposite of the image that I wanted for women who were terrified of public speaking. So although it started, it's designed to have officers in charge. And because these were all women who were terrified of public speaking, they weren't in a leadership role yet. That was their journey. Nobody would take on any of the roles to run the organization. So I had to bribe people just to take a title in order to keep it going. So I ran it for 2 years out of my home. Mm-hmm. And then I had to let it go because Toastmasters won't let a president stay in office any longer. And yeah. So I moved it to a more public space, and that allowed, I advertised it in a different way. And from there, I just said, somebody else has to take this over because, you know, first of all, I'm not making, it's not part of my business. And second of all, I can't run it anymore because that's not the way it's designed to be. So it is still running. I don't host it anymore.
Amen. Yeah. I was part of Toastmasters for a couple of years, a few years back as well, when my time commitments with everything I have going on, I just did not have the time to dedicate to it anymore.
Right. Right. Yes.
Because it's just not going to the meeting. There's all sorts of other things going on too.
No. Like anything, if you're going to get something out of it, you got to put something in it.
Yeah. A good friend of mine, Chris Jordan, he's at the Franklin Square Hospital Toastmasters. That's where I was at. And he was running it. He was the president, and his 2 years ended, and they've moved him on up to district director or something.
Right,
like that.
Right.
Now he's gone like 4 days a week going to other meetings.
Right, it's right.
Not just a once a month type thing. I mean,
Yeah,
so I can understand what you're talking about with the time commitment on all that. Now, hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's episode where I've been interviewing Lisa Stearns. Now, she's been sharing with us how to think outside the box and breaking down goals and goal setting and just simple tasks that we need to implement to get through our day. And her book, A List Is Not Enough, will help you in that area. I recommend you go down in the show notes down below and order a copy today. Now, in this day and time we are living in right now, we need to implement these things to keep us on track and on goal. Amen. Now, Lisa has put together the systems that work for her. And she's been teaching people and she's been sharing with you how you can put your own system into place that works just for you. But that also needs to be one of your goals, a goal to identify the system that works for you. Amen. So join us tomorrow as Lisa continues to walk us through goal setting, identifying the processes, and also how to overcome the obstacles that will try and get you to stop the process, because that's just as needful. Amen. So join us tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.